learning and growing in Jesus. Come on, let's give them a big shout out. Okay? Children's church dismissed. You don't realize, and the reason why sometimes you don't realize the download, the things that I'm sifting through in my spirit and my mind right now. You know, if I forget something, you know, don't fall apart. It's just like this morning, there was so much. There is so much the Holy Spirit's downloading to me and been doing for a while that honestly, it's hard for me to keep up with it. It's really hard for me to keep up with it. And I thank the Lord for what he's doing. But there's a family that messaged me this morning and said that they were going through a storm. Or after the storm, they visibly saw, they don't live here now, but they visibly saw this eagle fly across in the landscape or against the landscape, a literal eagle, American eagle, fly across after the storm. And they said, Pastor R, this reminded me of a word that you shared one time about soaring with eagles. And we just wanted to tell you that we love you and we're thankful for you. So we'd like to give a shout out to Reggie this morning. Wherever he is in Stafford, Virginia, and he told me, yes, send a shout out. So Mr. Reggie, Tara, and their family, we give you a shout out this morning. Let's give them a Lost Creek shout out. Yes. Man, that did my heart good. Now, I'd like to play you something. I played this before. Mrs. R said, honey, you did that before. I know. But because I did it before, don't mean that you got it before. Okay? How many knows what worldwide festivity or event is canvassing the world right now at this part? The World Olympics. Okay, and it's taking place, you know what country? In Japan, okay? But, you know, our representation, our athletes have trained for years, are there representing their countries, their individual countries. But in 1992, a young athlete who had, he had faltered before because of injury, his name was Derek Redmond. Some of you probably never even heard of him, but if you've been a follower of speedy people, track people over the years, you'll recognize his name. In 1992, he participated in an Olympic, the Barcelona Olympics. And the 4 years before that, he participated, but he had an injury, a real severe injury, which he had surgery and he recovered. Now, in the 1992 Olympics, he was picked as the winner of this Olympics. And you've seen the rest of it. I know some of you are going to remember this, and some of you may not remember it. Just in case you were not here and saw this, in case you did see this and say, oh, yeah, I remember part of that. But this is a powerful message in itself. If I did nothing but show you this, because there are captions, I think, that are with it, hopefully you will glue your eyes to it and don't leave thought of this, because this is so powerful, okay? So let's listen in. If we can get these lights down just a itty-bitty bit, and let's see what happens. Remember who that man is? That's his dad. Anybody here know a dad like that?
Yes.
You saw what he's doing, don't you? You see what he's doing? Get out my way. I'm helping my son. Nope. He's my son. Now, the one I was supposed to send had captions, and I'm sorry, Lakin, I sent you the wrong one. But that was powerful. It's the same content, but the other one had a song with it, but it was shorter. So this is good. So the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. But how many got the message in that right there? If you were listening, you got the message out of that, okay? Because not only is it important to know that somebody stands with us and stands by us during the times of adversity, but it's fact. It's not just something we say to be encouraging and to be nice. There is someone who has your back. Maybe you need to turn around just in case somebody was sleeping during that moment and say, somebody's got your back. Come on, you're not even doing it. What's the matter? Turn around to somebody and say, somebody's got my back. Yes. Because God knows that we are living in a world with great adversity. We're living in times of great adversity. In fact, Paul, who penned the scriptures that we're going to read and share just a minute ago, said in 2 Timothy that in the last days that perilous times will come. Times that are beyond the normal times. Would you not describe the times that we've lived in the last receding few years and several months, that these times are unique? Has anybody ever lived through times like this? I'm not saying that there's not been, disease and disaster and wars. We all know that. And Jesus described in Matthew chapter 24, he described that in the last day these things will happen. He did say that. But he used the scripture in verse 13 of chapter 24. He said, all these things are going to come upon you. You're going to be hated of all men. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilence, and there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. Nation, which means, listen, when it says nation in the Aramaic, it means races of people will turn against one another. But he said in verse 13, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So we know the things are upon us, but the challenge is what we have to do this morning. And that is endure. Now that just doesn't mean to grab a hold and yes, we need to do that. And not let go and just stay in one place. Say, well, oh, I'm not doing anything, Jesus, till you come back. No, it doesn't mean that at all. Endure means just being able to stand against adversity. Oh, quiet. You're already asleep on me? Wow. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to encourage people to do this morning, and I've been a student of the Word for years, but I'm going to challenge you to do something this morning. You know, on any Sunday morning, some people, you get more out of something what you put into something. If you don't bring the Word and you're just sitting there, you know, just filing your fingernails or just sitting there, you know, twiddling your fingers, you know, chances are you're not going to get into it. And if you were a second, you'll get out of it real quickly. But I'll promise you this. Take notes. Jot down things in the margin of your Bible. You know, if you have a phone, that's okay, as long as you're not shopping on whatever the network is or the app is you shop on. But as long as you're on your note page and you're taking a note, these are things that you will remember. And I've done that for years. For years, I have things written down. The Lord spoke to me years ago, and I wouldn't let go of those because there are a lot of things in the Scripture that we don't need to let go of. We need to hang on to. And so this morning, I'm going to look at the word endurance for just a minute. I'm going to talk about that because we're going to talk about just not the word endurance, but a kind of faith that's called enduring faith. How many knows that you've got to have faith in this journey? And in fact, the Scripture says without faith, you can't please Him. You can't, you're not even in the race without faith. You've got to have faith. But you know what? Faith is not faith unless there's resistance, unless there's adversity. How would you know what faith is without a fight? Oh, but I don't want the fight, Lord. I don't want the fight. Then you don't want the faith. Because faith is important in the fight. Amen. In fact, this Mrs. R got me this, and so the Lord downloaded something in the Spirit about this fit up here. And the first word is faithful, okay? We got to be faithful in the fight. Amen. I involved or into it, as you know it. How many's in it to win it? Listen, you're not going to win it if you're not in it. Hello? If you're not in it, you're not going to win it. Listen, Redmond knew that physically he was disqualified from that race. But he didn't come to quit the race. He came to finish the race. My question is, are you just a starter or are you a finisher? I'm ready to run. Are you? Come on, Miss Selena. I'm ready to run. Just in a second. Whew. Oh, I love it. Jesus, you're downloading so much to me right now. I'll try to hang on to it. But we need faith. And the last important part of this, fit, it's T, is trainable. You know, take all those years of downloading, teaching, and exemplifying, and coaching, and all those things, and throw those out the window. Not Derek Redmond. He knew that he needed to finish. Now, actually, when he fell down like this, and he was like praying, he really, the writers of the press said, he was in contemplation what to do. Do I walk off the track, or do I stay on the field? He chose to stay on the field. Chris, I choose to stay on the field. Is that all right, Chris? Hallelujah. We're choosing, you and I are choosing to stay on the field. And listen, when I call people's names out, don't get freaked out about that, okay? If I didn't know the person, I wouldn't be calling their name out. Okay. But you, God is equipping you, making you fit for the fight, making you fit for the race, so that you don't get into the race and decide you want to quit. Because these athletes are trained to not give up. Even against great adversity, they're disciplined and trained not to give up. For instance, one young lady who stood out and been a champion since 15 years of age is a young swimmer by the name of Katie Ledecky. Surely, if you've listened to the TV or the news or the social media in the last little while, that maybe some of you are fasting from, okay, that's okay. You keep fasting. But what I'm saying is, she is noted for her endurance. Because the first race, the 1500, this year is the first one in the history of the Olympics in that event. And she made history. Not only did she win it, but she was the first. She was the first in that event to win it. And will go down in history as the first female swimmer to win the 1500 yard, not 1500 meter. So think about that. That is a mile of swimming as hard as you can. Listen, that's hard. If I get in a pool and go one end to the other, that's hard. And that's not an Olympic size pool. That is a little short kiddie pool. But in order to finish the event, in order to finish, you gotta be in it to win it. Can somebody help me out? Are you in it to win it? Or are we just somebody who just shows up when we feel like it? Athletes who are like that don't win it. I promise you. Oh, my mother instilled something in me. We're going to get to the word endurance because she was the edifice or the model of endurance. I heard a man yesterday related to the Shane on his father's side, but he was talking about such an inspiration his mother was. She raised 11 kids, and she did it by herself because the father left. And so she raised all those kids during hard times in her life, and she exemplified faith. She said, he said this, and I know what he was saying, but he said, at that time, she was my Jesus. You ever known anybody like that before? Come on, be real with me. Listen, she was like my God. She was the one. She was my rock. She was the one. The reason why he was saying that is because she modeled such tremendous endurance and perseverance in the time of greatest struggle. Listen, this is not the time to give up. This is not the time to back out. This is not the time to check out. This is a time for you to be faithful more than ever. She took him to church, and he said, that wasn't an easy thing. And he said, when she prayed over you, whoo, he said, and he did that too. He said, you just look out for healing. This was a woman of God. And she chose when the other half of that relationship left that relationship that she was not going to tap out of the race. You know why? Because of these little pups she had to raise. Oh, I've already lost you. I've already lost you. Holy Ghost, give me assistance here, Lord, that you can shake people's heart and faith to get a hold of this. This is not the time for you to bow. This is the time for you to stay in the race. You have that picture of the lion? Okay, and the little cub, I know I work that youngin' up there to pieces. used to, work Becky like that for peace, and she just smiled real big. Lincoln does the same thing, but this is important. Listen, I thought about quitting, but I noticed who was watching me. Can some of you get that? I know it's not what we like to hear. I know it's not like what we like to see, but I thought about quitting. How many times? Listen, can I be real with you? Is there anything wrong with me being real with you? I hope you'll say, well, I hope you're real all the time, Pastor. I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to be real. Listen, most Sundays I quit. I'm shining your shoe. Listen, most Sundays I quit. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. And if you were real, there's a lot of Sundays, there's a lot of days in your life that you walk away in the face of adversity and you say, I'm ready to throw the towel in and check out and quit. Let me tell you, God says this is not your day to quit. This is the day you need to endure. Stay in the race. She knew I was going to do that. Against all adversity. She didn't start this race to quit the race. And her determination, and I'm not saying it's been easy. I don't even know. And she shares in part. I get on to her all the time because she shares in part because in reality she don't want to discourage her mommy and her daddy. That's the realness of that. But in the realness is, there's times that she's got weary and she's got tired. There's times that it became rough along the way. But listen, she's still been faithful. Stay there. She still sees her place, her position on the battlefield. She still sees her place. She still sees her place. Listen. And she refuses to quit. And God's been blessing her and tremendously, but a lot of physical things been happening as of late that's been messing with her. Been messing with her. Physical things that she's enduring that she didn't experience before. Is that not true? And this past week, she'd been experiencing some different, unusual physical symptoms. And so one of her main doctors says, I want to go back and do another scan because there could be spread. There could be spread in the bone. So, people started praying. How many knows when you get up against a wall, that's a good thing for you to do? Is pray your way through it. Pray your way over it. Whatever I got to do, just long as I get through it. And she didn't give up. And she went back and she did that. Hang on. So what'd they say?
There is no metastasis.
You want to say?
God is good. And God is faithful.
Amen.
So that's why I'm faithful.
Oh. Did you hear that? God is faithful, so that's why I'm faithful. God's good to me. He's there when I need him. He don't just show up when God's there when I need him. Think about the times you said, oh God, he was right there in a heartbeat. But the times he needed us, and we weren't in the race. I'm proud of you, Jenny Boo. So this is what, listen, What you do in this life models to those coming behind you. Do you hear me? This is not just about you. It's about those that you modeled before. When I said that my mom was a model to against for endurance against adversity, and she, and I've used this before, but just in case you hadn't heard it, just in case you did, and then it's just going to review, then maybe you need to hear it again. But my mom was faithful. She served and gave her life to a Jesus who was faithful to her. And the times in her life when she needed Jesus, that's who she could depend upon. And yes, people came through sometimes. And God will send people to you sometimes. But you can't always depend upon people. How many know? Because people do what people do. They mess up. And if you put all your marbles in people, guess what? Then sooner or later, you might lose your marbles. I didn't make that. Thank you, Lord, for that. That's a quote that somebody needs to remember. But she put her faith in Jesus. So it was during the hard times of her life. Listen, when Dad was not even in the picture in a sense, because he was drinking, he was an alcoholic. He chased after the world, he chased things and went after the world. And thank God for my dad now, because he finally gave his life to Jesus in 1973. But you know what? My mother, through the hard times in her life, would not give up on my dad. She just simply prayed. And I'm saying she, and I'm not advocating here. Don't take this wrong. I'm saying she didn't. So she prayed, and God finally got a hold of his heart. And he reunited that fellowship and that relationship that a son and daughters had with him and that a wife had with him. But for years, she hung on. She stayed in the race. Even in times, at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear her in the bathroom. I'd be awakened out of my sleep as a little child, hearing her cry out to God, "Oh, God, save George. I give him to you. That's the only thing I know to do, Jesus. Just give him to you." And you know what? God saw that faithfulness. Listen, taking her kids to church wasn't an easy thing, because when she took them and she come back home, she knew there would be a fight. She knew there would be accusations. She knew that all hell would be unleashed upon her. But she stayed in the race anyway. She stayed in the race. Not when life got hard. When life gets tough, the tough keep going. I said, when life gets tough, the tough keep going. She modeled that. Sometimes you did not have church back then, not have it, because of a little snow on the ground. And 8 or 10 inches of snow, we had church anyway. Grandpa would come out of the head of the holler to walk to start an old fire and a pot-bellied stove. But Mom, in an old, I don't know what, maybe an old dilapidated Cadillac. I don't know what kind of car it was. But, you know, my mother, in order to get us there, she would literally go out, Chris, and put chains on the car herself to get us there. Because, listen, hear me out what I'm saying. She knew how important it was to stay in the race and stay faithful. People who are in it to win it, win it. She modeled that for me. That's why you say, "Well, Pastor, are you a stickler about coming to church?" Because it's important. You can say, "Well, you hassle me about that church stuff." Well, I'm going to keep hassling you till Jesus comes, or you're going to get tired of it and just go on down the road where you won't be hassled. That's real stuff, Billy. She stayed in it to win it. And now she's with Jesus. My dad's with Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? She endured so she could model for us the true reality of what enduring is. We've come through a lot of things in life. Mrs. R and I have come through a lot of things in life. A lot of things in life. Mrs. R has had great adversity, modeled great endurance through her not giving up, through her fight with cancer and deep, dark depression and years of the darkest kind of depression. I'm talking about thoughts of suicide. I'm talking about constant hospitalizations. I'm talking about constant regimens of medicines. But she never gave up. She stayed in the race. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of you. If you're not in the race, get in the race. Isn't that what Melissa did today? She says, I want my fire back. I want my grit back. Everybody shout the word grit. Do you know everybody needs grit? That's not what you eat with your eggs on Saturday morning. I'm talking about the built-in stamina inside you to keep going. I know life gets hard. Keep going. I know there's pain. Keep going. I know there's hardships. Keep going. I know there's frustrations and moments of tiring beyond your imagination, and nobody here understands the things that you wrestle except you and God. But I'm saying today, not looking down upon your situation because I don't understand the totality of your situation, but my voice in you this morning is to say, keep running. Keep running. Keep in the race. Don't quit. You'll never win by quitting. He said, Shane's loved one or uncle said to me, he said, when my wife left me, he said, I almost come to the end of my life and I just quit on God. And he says, I'm so glad that God took me back and I came and I realized this. This is what he said. If he was here, he'd tell you this. This is what he said. And I realized that no person is going to get in my way of seeing Jesus. Amen. Nothing is going to get me out of the race. Come on. Are you in the race? Are you in it to win it? It's been said of this culture today that we are not good at facing adversity because we go a while, we're like this Roman candle. Poof! Beautiful, wonderful. And then, just falls right back down. The fact is, God, there's a world looking at your faith today. There's a world looking at your faith. There's anybody who struggled with giving up. And I know I pick on them a lot. I pick on you a lot. Well, you're just going to have to take it because I'm going to keep picking on you. Listen, this family lost one of the most precious things in their life to them. And I know Sister Charlotte said on her recliner, word for word, this is what she said. She says, I just give up. I said, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I knew a man one time who lost his son. He lived in Jenkins, Kentucky, and he preached from a wheelchair. And he was a powerful man of God. He was a person that I modeled after when I was a child, about Graham's age or Ben's age. He was a person that I modeled. But then he lost his son in a drowning accident who wrecked in a lake. He got out of the race. He dropped out of the race. because he wasn't looking for that hit. He wasn't looking for that adversity. We all say we're in it to win it. But when we hit a wall, that's another thing. But when you hit a wall, that's when you really need to stay in it. When you hit a wall, that's when you need to keep pushing. When you hit a wall, that's when you still need to keep praising and praying and seeking God. That's the time to stay in it. Say, I'm in it to win it. Oh, man. Endurance. Look at this here. The fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving up. Without giving up. Without giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving out. I'm going to keep my praise on. Even when my lights are not on, I'm going to keep my praise on. Even though my tank's empty, I'm going to keep my praise on. Even though I don't know where my finances are coming from, I'm going to keep my praise on. Even when everybody else gets mad at me and decides to check out on me, I'm going to still keep my praise on. Because it's not to man I praise, it's to God you praise. Listen, if you're in it for men, when men let you down, you're going to be out of it. The fact is, I'm not here in this ministry because of a man. Now, there were men who were instruments in praying and encouraged me to be about it. But I came because God told me to come. Becky, I came because Jesus told me to. I didn't come. I wasn't called by a man. I've been encouraged by men. I've been prayed for by men. I've been loved by men. But listen, I'm here because of God's mandate. I'm here because of God's calling. So when struggles and adversity and pain really come against me, even though the fire gets low sometimes. Like Jeremiah said, even when I wanted to quit, this is a scripture, this is real. He said, when I wanted to quit, when I wanted to tap out, when I wanted to say, God, I can't preach anymore, then he said, I realized there was a fire shut up down in my bones. There's something deep on the inside of me that wouldn't let me quit. Will Wright, that's what we gotta have. The something down inside of us when we're faced with trials. We don't tap out. We stay in the race. I believe I've lost most of you today. Okay, I know what time it is. And Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to come down there and you and I are going to do a happy dance in a minute. Even if you don't want to dance, we're going to do the happy dance. You're going to dance in the place you thought you'd die. Remember that? Hallelujah. Oh. You're not in it to lose it. You're in it to win it. See, Will knows I'll do that. Huh? That's why he sits in the back. You're brave, Jason. Becky, both. They know. Look at the word endure. Listen. Denoting or relating to a race or a certain sporting event that takes place over a long distance. Now, I'm going to read my text, and we're going to draw it all together here. There's so much that God's downloaded to me. There's no way that in one little thing that I could share everything the Holy Spirit has downloaded to me. But this morning, the fact is, Jesus is looking for a bride that will endure. Jesus is looking for a bride who knows what they have and knows that they can't give it up for no one or any one thing, because that bride realizes that we're in it to win it. And one day when Jesus finally says this to you, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. He didn't even say you had to be perfect over everything. He said you've been faithful over a few things. Have there been things that you've been faithful over? Don't you realize that there's going to be a payday someday? There's going to be a crowning someday. There's going to be a royal diadem. Don't you realize that one day you're going to step into the glory, the pure, unadulterated glory of God, and hear Jesus say, you've won the race. Come on! We get too stuck here. You're going somewhere. You're a pilgrim. You're passing through. The word says this is not even your home. This is just passing through. God's getting you ready for the next world. So everything we do in this world is important. And the most important thing that we can do today is endure. Stay in the race. The word endure, the verb itself, something to suffer, something painful or difficult, patiently. Oh, somebody say, whoa, now Pastor R, don't start talking about the patience thing. Because I prayed for patience before, and then adversity came. The trying of your faith worketh patience. It's the trial of your faith that strengthens your faith. Listen to this one, and this is the one I want to share, and I'm going to use an illustration here. Lord Jesus, there's just too much, Lord. Now, I'm not complaining, Lord. I'm just saying this is the time to go all in the race. You see, Katie Ledecky on that 1,500 meter gets the strongest in the last part of that race. And when she's picked in the relay medley, you know who the anchor is? It's Katie. Because they know that Katie's reliable. She's the one in that part of the race that will give it her all. Do you know what? Let me ask you something. Jesus is depending upon you. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is depending upon me. I know you depend upon Jesus. I know you're in that. You say, I depend upon Jesus. We all depend upon Jesus. But the reality is, Jesus is depending upon you, Jace. He's depending upon you to finish what he gave you to finish. You came here to this earth as an assignment. You have purpose. How many knows you have purpose? Yes. If you don't know you do, I'd be glad to talk to you. I mean, really. You have purpose. God brought you to this earth with purpose, assignment. He brought you here with an assignment, just like he did Paul. But this is a definition. He says to endure in the verse. It says to remain in existence, to last, or even go the distance. Do we have what it takes to last? Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, he that endures to the end. And he says, you're going to have all these things going to come upon you. All these things are going to come up on the earth. But God's looking for a bride. If you think, and I don't mean to be a pessimist. I'm not being a pessimist. I'm being a realist this morning. But I'm being a person of faith. If you think it's been hard in the last year and a half, oh, listen. Oh, listen, friend. How many knows there is a need to stay? There is a need to last. There is a need to finish the course. And you're going to be hated of men. People are going to hate you. I've never had so much haters come upon me. Just hate me just because they want to hate me. Or hate me because I didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. Or just hate me because I didn't want to do what they thought I should have done. I didn't get in this to win it, to drop out because the popularity, my popularity with the human populace today. I'm in it to win it. And sometimes it's not going to be easy, but I choose to stay in the race. Maybe that's why I run every day. Come on, Amira. Maybe that's why I run every day. Come here, Miss Selena. Come on, all that bag of tricks there. Let's get it out. Most of you don't know this. I don't know. She feels like she's an accomplished marathon runner. But to run 26 miles... Now, listen, for those who's good in geography right now, somebody help me out. If I wanted to run south 24 miles, where would I run to? Come on, proximate, maybe not right to the foot. Huh? Duffield, is that a little bit more than 26 miles, isn't it? Oh, it is 25 miles? From here to Duffield. It's about 25 miles. So if I went one more mile past Duffield, I'd be running 26 miles. Whoa. That's a long way to run. Okay, if I run north 26 miles, where would I be? Come on, Gabby, you work in Pikeville. Where would I be from here maybe if I run 26 miles north? Jenkins, possibly might be a little bit further than Jenkins, because I can be in what? Thornton. Oh man, that's the place I came from. Okay, then probably Thornton, Kentucky. If you're going 23, you probably don't. You go by there, don't you? When you're going to work. So think about that. Just to start out running, that's where you'd end up. That's a long way to run. But let me tell you something. This is a race. We are in it to win it. But we're not in it to compete. I'm not competing with you. I'm not competing with you. I'm not competing with you. You're not competing with me. We're all in the race, but we're all in it to win it. As long as we get past the finish line, that's what's important. And Kim, if you get ahead of me, hallelujah, praise Jesus. Are you with me? Daniel, you don't have to compete with me. You don't have to compete with my style. You don't have to compete with me. We're all in it to win it. We're all in this race. But in a world so highly competitive, because the world system is a competitive system. People compete each other for jobs. They compete with each other for rank and order and positions. In the kingdom of God, we're all runners, but we're all cheerleaders too. If I can't cheer you on, then I'm a sorry excuse for a runner. If I can't celebrate your victories, then Lord, where does that put me? We're all in it to win it. We're all running this race together. We're all running this race together. So, wow, look at all this stuff, Miss Selena. Wow. Oh, these are your These are your trusty running shoes. I'm not going to advertise a brand, but they're really good. And for somebody that's going to run a distance, you need something that's going to last the distance, Will. So, crazy eights, okay? So you've actually run in marathons before. Now, I want you to think a marathon is not an easy race. God did not save you and put you in a sprint. If he would, he checked you out just like that. You start the race, and just a few minutes, he'd take you out. Okay, let's go to heaven. But God saved you to keep you in this race. This race is a marathon. That means it's a distance. So you've actually just tell us just a little bit about what you experienced. I can't even imagine. I run maybe 3 miles a day if I'm blessed. At the end of the week, if I have a good week, Becky, 5 days, that's 15 miles. That's through a whole course of a week. Whoa, CJ, that's a lot of running for an old man. But, you know, that's a course of a week. But to start, Grant, one race, 26 miles, and say, I've got to finish that race. Tell us some of the physical, emotional, spiritual things that you feel.
Gosh, the one thing I can tell you, it's so hard. You know, and like, you have to train for a really long time. We did three. There was a group of us, so we ended up doing three marathons over a course of about 5 years. But we trained for a really long time, and I mean, the first one we did was in Savannah, and I think Lakin has a picture. No, I'm sorry, this one was Kiowa down near.
Oh, so this is actually you all.
Yeah, that's me and two of my friends that ran with me. And I will say this, I could not have done it without their help. I could not have done that by myself.
Oh.
I could not. I mean, those girls right there, you know, it was like we would pick each other up.
That is an awesome thought. Can you push pause there just for a second? This is team tagging them. Can you just push pause there? Do you know what? That's biblical. Because how many knows that you're not in this race by yourself? Even though you're racing your own race, we're here to encourage each other. As Paul said, spur each other along in our race. We're here to encourage others who are in the race with us. Do you hear that? Jesus was the greatest distance racer of anybody ever lived. He came to finish a course, Mrs. R. The Father set before him. And even though in Hebrews 12 says that even in the face of the cross, he endured the pain and the suffering that went with that race. But you know what? From that cross, he let everyone know that he finished his assignment. Because the last words he uttered from that cross of suffering, next to the last words he uttered was, Father, it is finished. I completed this race. I'm in it to win it. I did my assignment. I completed what I was sent here to do. And knowing that that cross was full of pain and suffering, he chose it anyway. He chose it anyway. Everybody sometimes is about it if everything's going good. But when it quits going good, that's when people hit a wall and they back up or back off. That's not the time for you to back off. That's the time for you to run harder than you've ever run. Because the question is, are you in it to win it? Yes. This is the day to be more faithful. This is the day to give more. This is the day to praise more. This is the day to encourage each other more. Now, before I let you finish that, Miss Selena. Oh, Jesus. Listen, going to the cross, he hit a hill. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And the Boston Marathon, some of you know this, there's a hill in this 26-mile race called Heartbreak Hill. A lot of people start this race, but when they get 20, 21 miles into the race, then they suddenly start getting an incline. A lot of racers drop out of that race there. Because even though it's not like going up High Knob Hill, it's a slight incline, and it tests the limitations of the human body. That's when legs start giving in. That's when you feel pain. That's when things start talking in your head. You can't complete this. You can't finish. I promise the Lord is going somewhere. This word today will be revolutionary in your work, in your life, if you will embrace this word. Because long after I'm gone, long after Mrs. R is going to be gone, I want you to share this word today. I didn't get in this to get out of this. I got in it to win it. I got in it to receive my prize. So on that hill called going toward Golgotha, he went up Mount Calvary. That was a mount. That was an incline. And even though it was almost 1,000, are you with me, Will? Even though it was almost 1,000 miles into the completion of that, this is what happened. Almost 1,000 feet. Then what he did is he caved in the race. Like Derek Redmond. He buckled in finishing his race. You ever felt like buckling before, Will? I know this is pick on Will day. I love you. You're my son. I'm picking on you. I know, but have you ever felt like buckling before? Just stay down there. Have you ever felt like buckling before? Jesus actually buckled beneath that 110 pounds of weight. He buckled under the knee, the weight of that cross. The weight was extreme. Your weight is extreme. I know it's extreme. I know the things you go through are heavy and weighty. I know that. But you didn't get in it to get out of it. You got in it to win it. I know it gets heavy, Billy, and nobody understands the kind of pain and frustration and recovery with your type of surgery. I understand that, but you didn't get in this to get out of it. You started a long time in the race to finish the race. So this is what Jesus did. When he fell beneath the weight of that cross, I told you I was going to pick on you. There was a man there for some reason. Do you know the reason? In that crowd. He was in that crowd, just a man in the crowd. The thing is, the only mention of this man's name, he was a Cyrenian by the name of Simon. And he was just in the crowd. And today, you may think you're just in the crowd. I don't matter. I don't count. I don't count. Stay with me, Will. Don't you know teachers have eyes in the back of their head? Stay with me. This is powerfully important, guys. So, so important. So he buckled beneath the weight of his cross. In this race, which was the most important endurance race of his life. Listen, your Christian faith and living out your purpose is the most important thing you'll do in your life. Can I tell you, it's more important than your job. Do you understand that? It's more important than your hobbies, your likes. It's more important than social media. What people think about you. It doesn't matter what people think about you. I'm on the number one hit list just nearly every week. Praise Jesus. I must be doing or saying something to aggravate the devil. Okay, I'm meddling now. Okay, let me just. So here, he bowed beneath the weight of his cross. And Simon, these Roman guards who had taken him up the hill, escorting him while he was running his race, trying to finish his race, they saw this man. And they said, "You! You think those soldiers knew that that man's name was Simon?" No. To us, it seems like nobody really knows who we are. But your encouragement to each other and to this old pastor is one of the most important things that you could do in your Christian calling. Why does God put you among other racers? So you, like Miss Selena said, you can encourage each other on in the race. So when I get in your grill, and I call you out, don't hit you, I'm sorry. Hey, Gerald, no wonder everybody's bowing. But okay, I'm sorry. I forgot that this had a long part on it, I'm sorry. Hang in here with me, okay? Oh, Jesus. Listen, I promise. I'm in it to help you win it. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So when you get frustrated, when you get aggravated, I'm in it to help you win it. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Did you hear what I said? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Don't bite your encourager. We're here to love each other. We're all a mess sometimes. We don't have it figured out. But he said, "You, come. Help him bear his cross." So this is what happened. Underneath that cross, that's why you were ducking just a minute ago. You should have said something, Will. You have such a good spirit about you, brother. Okay. Get my cross. And he picked his cross. Now, Becky, that was a minute detail in that passage of Scripture to teach us an important lesson, that we all stumble under our weight. Yes. Even Jesus in his humanity exemplified that. He said, guys, this is what he's really saying. When you get down and you feel like tapping out of the race, he said, I'm going to send others in to help you get the cross back up and get you back in the race. Do you understand that? Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! He sends Chris those alongside you to help you with the cross. Remember when that cross got heavy several months ago, brother? Oh, because God knew his son needed to finish what he came to do. That's why I showed you Derek Redmond at the beginning. Running, he pulled lame and went to his knees. Oh, the love of a father. Man, Dale, you do that. You jump out of that crowd and anybody stand in your way? Get in my way. You would too, Josh. Yeah, you listen, I don't know. You'd run to Blacksburg, Virginia. Listen, you'd literally, if your car was out of gas, you'd actually run. You'd run to get there. You and Joyce would. Run to get there. And that father jumped out of those stands. How many times the father has come to me and rescued me when I buckled. And I said, Becky, I can't go. I can't go any further, Lord. I can't go. I'm tired, Lord. I'm tired. I'm weary. The cross is heavy. And the Father comes. He leaves the grandstands of glory through the power of the Holy Spirit. And like that eagle who's become weak and can't fly, he's the wind that gets beneath my wings. He's the strength that undergirds me and lifts me up and says, there's another day. There's another day, Keith. There's another day. I know when your mom left, I know that was a hard thing for you. I know it was tough. And I know you've been through a lot. But God put you in it, Becky, to win it. He put you in it so you can cross the finish line. And behold all the glory and the splendor. Did you hear that, Christy? To behold all the glory and the splendor. Let me tell you what happened. Every hardship, every grueling training moment, every moment in that race will dissipate. All your suffering will vanish as a vapor when you behold Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know that's going to happen? Some of you don't know that's going to happen. It's going to happen. To a theater real soon coming your way. You're going to see Jesus for yourself. Job said, for yourself and not another. Think about that, Gabby. For yourself, Sister Pam, and not another. Is it important that we stay in this race? Yes. I said, is it important that we stay in this race? Yes. Finish what God has told you to finish. This is no time to give up. Thank you, Will. Now, Miss Selena, coming back to you. In those hard races as we're closing, what was the thing probably in your mind the most foremost, your physical, your mental emotions when you were running 26 miles? Mrs. R, I can't even imagine. Even on my best days training in high school, as thin and lean as I was, I could have never run 26 miles. Our coach used to put us on the railroad track, and I thought that was tough. And we couldn't miss a tie. Y'all probably don't know what that means, do you? Yeah, that's them wooden pieces between the rail. We couldn't miss a tie. We had to run the ties, and we couldn't miss a one. And it seemed like for miles. But what was it in that 26 mile? Tell me.
That it was going to be worth it when I finished. That was that moment. moment was worth all of the pain.
Did you finish first?
No.
Okay.
Gosh, no.
So, but that was the important thing, was it? That because
survival.
Survival. That the important thing is to know that we were in the race. The next thing important is that we finished the race. Yes, and there might be legs more stronger than mine. And there might be endurance stronger than mine that will cross before me. But yet, I will cross. Hallelujah. And my Father may have to carry me some of the way. He may come from glory. He may have to pick me up at times and urge me on, but he does. That's what he did to Melissa this morning. You see, the Father saw where she was. And listen, Gary, the Lord saw where she was. And the Lord stepped down through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he undergirded her and said, sis, it's time to get back in the race. It's time to finish what I give you to finish, Steph. You're in it to win it. You didn't check in this to check out of it. Because everything, everybody shout everything, is at stake. Everything. Evie, everything is at stake. Oh, thank you for being so patient today. Miss Selena, you inspire me. The fact, you know, you're not just a runner on the track or on the road or the courses. Paul says, he says, I finished my course. Because how important it is when you're in a race to stay on track and stay on the course. So can I close in this scripture here? I know perfectly well what time it is. And you just hang right there, Miss Selena, because there are people this morning that are going to come that definitely need to come. There's more in this room here today that's tired in your race. Listen, if you were real with me today, you'd say, Pastor R, I'm tired. And we've had enough come against up on this planet, up on this earth. We've had enough things to test us. Our physical, our emotional, our spiritual stamina. Oh, listen to this. Paul says in Hebrews 12:1, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses, and those witnesses are martyrs that went on before us. In the Aramaic, it means people who have already run the race and finished their course. I like to think sometimes that mom's up there. That Sister Betty maybe is up there. Maybe other who have martyred. Mama Potter is up there. She said, come on, kids, you can run a little harder. As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. They encircle us like clouds. Their testimonies, their faithfulness encourages us to keep running. So we must let go of every wound. That means an arrow that's pierced you in the Aramaic. We must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Lay aside every weight, everything that's hindering you today. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. I want to run with passion, don't you? This praise team today was running with passion. Hallelujah. You were worshiping with passion. Hallelujah. Whoa, wow. There were some moments with all those lights going on. Thank you, keep it. Listen to the Holy Ghost. The presence of Jesus was here, inspiring us with passion and determination for the path has been already marked out for us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us, who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy, knowing that you would be his. Listen, he endured. Everybody shout, endured. He endured the pain, the agony. I'll do it anyway, Father. I know what I got to go through, but I'll do it because I love him. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes. And today, Will, he's my greatest cheerleader. Yes! When I want to tap out, Daniel, Jesus is down there saying, come on, boy, you can do it again. You can run a little harder. Come on, Daniel, you can run a little harder. So, Miss Selena, thank you for bringing this. You're an actual marathon runner. Honestly.
Lots of prayer, Pastor Art. Because we prayed the whole time we ran.
I bet you do pray the whole time running. And when I'm running 3 miles, I pray the whole way. I do. It's a good time for God, you know. So today, are you in it to win it? Are you in it to win it? I know what time it is. When you get to heaven, guess what? You get to throw those clocks away. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Don't worry about them. So quit worrying about them now. We're in it to win it. So today, how many know in your heart, in your heart of hearts, that God put you in a race? Raise your hand. How many knows that this race has been tough and hard at times? I didn't say all the time. I said at times. Challenging. How many has felt the presence of Jesus at times in your life urging you and saying you, come on, get up. Run some more. Pray some more. Pray some more. Study some more. Listen, worship some more. And how many at times in your life when you felt like you dropped in the race and didn't think you could go on, how many knows in that urgent moment there was a hand that undergirded you and says, I'm here. Come on. Get up. Let's keep running. Do you know what that was today? You have sensed his hand in this today. His hand has come through his word. His hand has come through his word. And today, if you're here and you feel tired and you feel like that you need more strength, more perseverance, more dedication, more determination, more endurance, then I want you right now. You're going to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost right now, the presence of Jesus. Come up here, Jim. And Will, I want you to stand over here. I want you to get ready to pray for people. Miss Lynn, I want you to get ready to pray. And there's other people here that will pray too. I know some of you have gone through hard things. Trish, Gerald, you've been through hard things in your life, but you're still in the race. You've been through hard things in your life, Jason, but you're still. Becky, you've been through a lot of things. Cleta, I could name everybody in here. But today, you need something extra today to give you that extra grit to keep running your race. If that's you, I want you to be honest. I want you to be real. I don't want you to sit there. You don't have to sit there like you've got your life all together. You're not impressing me, and you're certainly not impressing God. Okay? So if you're here and you're real, and you need extra grit, then right now I want you to rise up right now. Feel the Lord's wings lifting you up right now. If you're here and you need extra strength right now to continue your race, to help you finish a race. You need that right now. Just stand up right now where you are, all over this building. That don't mean you messed up, you sinned this morning. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about if you feel you need strength. Do you need strength in your life to keep going? Then get to your feet right now. The fact is, I can't make you do it. The fact is, sometimes, Lord, I want to just encourage people. I want to just shout in people's ears, Lord, just do it, Lord, just do it. But listen, friend, we need this. We need this. Jesus is coming. I know you've heard that for hundreds of years, thousands of years, but he really is. He could come in the next moment. He could come in the next few seconds. Are you still in the race? Then if you feel you need strength to be in this race, then get to your feet, because God's going to strengthen you right now. I want you to pray.